When I think of our great God, we often think of the three big G words for our God. He's great, He's good, and He's glorious. He's throwing gracious too. All these wonderful words to describe our God. I've already prayed for us as we look at God's Word, and I just trust the Lord to minister to us. I trust that that you're also going to be praying for God's Word to have input into your life. And I want to begin by saying to you all how amazing it has been to see at Bazo here the new Builder Karen. Do you pinch yourself sometimes and think, how on earth is this happening? You know, it's incredible. And just over a year ago, when it all began, I remember being out there on the front lawn. Kerry was taking a photo, and we turned the first soil on the old front lawn that we used to have. And then over time, we saw the concrete pour and the big tilt-up panels going up. Do you remember that? And by the big crane, we got some video footage of this. And over time, things have been coming together. And at the moment, this week, we've had the carpet in the new chapel laid, and the whole thing is really taking shape. The kitchen and the foyer, all sorts of things are happening. What do you reckon? Yeah, good. Are you excited? I hope you are. And I want to say to you all that I'm so grateful that we don't have any, I don't believe we're having any mutiny. We're not having any issues. Everyone's been really patient as we have continued to wait for us to one day all be together again. No longer in the hall, lesser hall, and online, except for those who can't make it anymore, but all together in one place. Thanks so much for being patient. And thanks for your patience in regards to this project that's gone on longer than we expected. We never knew that COVID would have such an impact on workers and on a supply, and it's taken a long time for Castle, our builders, to get to finish the project. So good on you for your patience. And I've got to say, with a number of new people in our church, praise God for your patience in coming into our situation that is a little bit messy and not quite as it should be. So we're very thankful for your patience hanging in with us as we wait together to go into the new chapel. That's right, eh? All right. Okay. So God willing, very soon we'll be in the new chapel, and I want you to start anticipating how we will be in the new chapel, God willing. And I want you to think about what we're going to be doing. We're going to be going into a new chapel. Let's call it a place. We're going to go into this new place. And I want to ask you this morning, in anticipation of this, what is this new place meant to be about? What is it meant to be about? Like, from God's perspective, we could be meeting out under the jacaranda trees. But we have got this new chapel. Praise God, it's better, isn't it? In case it's raining and all those sort of things, or it's a 44 degree day. What is this new place to be about? And friends, I want you to be fully aware of this. This place is to be about the presence of God. God being pleased to be present with us. Not because that new chapel is a sacred place, nor is this a sacred place, but because of God's people, God's beloved people, the Lord Jesus' saved people are going to be gathering together. I want you to anticipate, as we go into that new chapel, from the hall and lesser hall and the chapel, we are going to be coming into the presence of God. Are you conscious of that these days? Even when you roll up to church, God is ministering to us. He's in our midst. This is our God. And I also wanted to say to you all, as we sense God's presence and He's moving in our midst, I want us to be aware, according to my understanding of the Bible, that this place that we're going to be inhabiting is meant to be a place where we are all about praising Him, proclaiming Him, and praying to Him. That's what it's meant to be about, this new place. And if it's not about that, what we're going to have out there is an empty shell with empty people. What we want God to do is to come into that place because He's happy to be there, because we are a people who praise Him and proclaim Him and pray to Him. It's so essential we consider these things. This is what should be happening here in the old chapel, in the hall. But I want to especially impress that upon you as we anticipate entering into our new chapel. And what I'm going to do, why I had that reading from 1 Kings chapter 8, thanks Ethan for that, is because I love how all those P words, notice they're all P words, they are also seen in 1 Kings 8, when that temple, the Solomon temple, was built. We see all those incredible things, the presence of God, the praising of God, the proclaiming of God, and prayer to God. And what I want to do, I want to look at that Old Testament story and then relate it to us, who no longer under the old covenant, like Solomon was. We're under what? The new covenant, the better covenant in Christ. But all those principles of the old do flow straight in to the new covenant as well. So let's have a look at these things this morning. So what we're going to do, we get our Bibles out, and I'm going to start off by reading from 1 Kings chapter 8, just a few verses before Ethan read. We're going to read verses 10 and 11. 1 Kings 8, 10 and 11. It happened that when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Can you picture that? Can you just imagine how incredible this is? The temple has been built. They are ready for their first meeting. They bring in the Ark of the Covenant. And where does it go? Into the back room of the temple, the Holy of Holies. And as the priests were coming out, something happened. Something extraordinary. The cloud of God, the glory of God in that cloud, the presence of God came down into that building. Wow! That's a wow, isn't it? Oh, that's awesome! What a testimony of the great God who longs to dwell with his people. What a joy and delight it is for God's people to know the Lord is pleased to be present. And if we keep reading, we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, 12 and 13, and this is Solomon's response. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick cloud. I have surely built you a lofty house, a place for your dwelling forever." And in that first verse, verse 12, Solomon is thinking of how God is the one who dwells in the thick cloud, like in the storm clouds. And besides that, in Isaiah 66, it tells us that the Lord, he just occupies the whole heavens and the earth. But what thrills Solomon, and what should thrill everybody who was there, was the fact that God came down into that temple. And this dwelling that he had made, this temple that Solomon had made, would be now become the dwelling place of God. Wow, that's incredible, isn't it? What a great God who wants to dwell with his people. Now, let me ask you a few questions. So when we have our opening service in the new chapel, am I expecting the cloud of God to fall down amongst us?
Yes.
Yes? All right. Well, this is really good. That would be great. That would be awesome. But you know what? I want to say something to you. What's different from the old covenant and the new covenant is that God no longer dwells in one particular place. So that's what happened under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, where does the Lord dwell? He dwells in our hearts and he dwells amongst us. So as we come, as the people of the Lord Jesus, we know that the Lord will come and dwell amongst us. And he could, oh, that'd be great if he came with a cloud as well. But hopefully we're past all the signs and wonders. We know that he's going to dwell with us by faith and by the truth. Yeah, that's how it is. But I wouldn't, you know, if God wants to do something special, that's great too. Alright. Okay. And I want to just remind you of some great verses about this. About the presence of our God. So in John chapter 14, Jesus says in verse 16, "I'll ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever." That is the Spirit of truth. How long will he be with you? Forever. And where will he be? In you. Let me keep reading. "The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, And he will abide with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I love that. How good is that, eh? But also, not only does the Lord Jesus come in to live in our lives if we are true Christians, we also love the wonderful truth that he dwells amongst us. And there's a verse about that, Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. So right now Jesus is in our presence. Do you believe it?
Yes.
By faith, by the truth. And that's what we should be expecting when we go into the new chapel. And I want to share a few more things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says these words. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You're a temple. Wow, a little temple. God's Spirit dwells in you. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we see something mentioned corporately. That together, we're not a temple, it says. Well, we thought of our temple, we are a spiritual house that God dwells amongst. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 to you. As living stones, you are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What a picture. So individually we are little temples, but together we are the house of God and God dwells in our presence and midst. You've got to get hold of this. That's what makes church special. We're not some club. We're not some group of people. We're the Lord's people and the Lord dwells amongst us. So how good it is to declare these things this morning. Now I want to just touch on some important things. How lovely it is that God will be present with us. The thing is, even in our old chapel and hall and lesser hall, are we conscious of that though? So often we do not live by faith. We're meant to be conscious of his presence. When we go into that new chapel, the thing that should touch our heart is not the new carpet, not the nice paint job, not the beautiful grandeur of the foyer and the kitchen. It should be, we're meeting God. We're coming into his presence. We need to be tuned up to this, tuned into this. We need to be switched on. I want to anticipate this as we go into the new chapel. But the other thing I want to consider with you is, especially in the light of a series we're doing in our home groups through the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches in book of Revelation, I don't want us to be a people where the presence of God isn't amongst us, because we've drifted away from God. It's become all about me and not about the Lord. And Jesus warns churches in the Revelation 2 and 3 that he would remove the lampstand. He would vacate that church because they didn't repent and they didn't turn to him. They didn't listen to him. It was all about themselves. So I'm conscious of that too. I want the presence of the Lord in our place and I want the Lord to be pleased to be present with us. That we're following him, we're listening to him, we're repenting of our sins, we're tuned into him. But the three big P words that I'm going to go on to speak about are the things that makes the Lord so pleased to be present with us. A people who praise him, a people who proclaim him, and a people who pray to him. Let's have a look at these things, and they come out of the story from 1 Kings chapter 8. But what we're going to do is I'm going to read a parallel passage of 1 Kings 8, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, to see something special while the people were praising God. So 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 11 to 14. 2 Chronicles 5, 11. And when the priest came forth from the holy place, they're moving into verse 12, and all the Levitical singers, and some of them are mentioned, it goes on to say, with cymbals and harps and lyres standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets, in unison with the trumpeters and the singers, making themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying,
He indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That's not in 1 Kings 8. A little bit more information is given. When did God descend and fill the house? Yet the Ark of the Covenant went into the Holy of Holies, but something else was happening. The people were praising God. They were singing with all their hearts to God. This is the first service in the temple. And God was so pleased with the praises from his people that he came down and could be seen by the glory of the Lord, the cloud filling the temple. What an awesome thing. But do you pick up on something? What moved the heart of God when the people were praising him? You know what? There's a lot to say about worship these days. I'm sad to know that in many churches, we have reduced our worship to God to be more about ourselves than about God. We sing about ourselves and all the benefits we get rather than about him. We don't praise him as we ought. We're meant to be delighted in him, filled with praise for him, worshipping him, honouring him, adoring him. That's what praise is about. And when God senses that, when God hears that, he is so delighted to be with his people. Almost like I could say to give us a hug. He loves when us as his people realise how good he is and we want to just worship him and adore him. That's what I want to see in our new chapel. As well as in the old chapel, as we continue to be here and in the hall. Do you understand what worship is about? It's not a matter about being entertained, about feeling good. It's about the Lord. It's about being still and remembering who our awesome God is and how did he ever be concerned for us and how could he love us so much and do so much for us? Give us a home in heaven and save our souls. It's our joy to praise his name. To praise his name. So when we praise his name, the Lord loves to be present. There's an interesting verse in Psalm 22, verse 3. And it says, "You are holy, you who inhabit the praises of Israel." That always intrigues me, that verse. But what it's saying is this: God loves to be in the presence of his people when they lift up their voices and praise his glorious and holy name. I want you to picture that. Here in the old chapel and hall, but also when we go into the new chapel. And under the new covenant, this is to me, what we see in 1 Kings 8 moves into the new covenant. There's no change here. God loves to dwell amongst his people, especially as we praise him. But the difference is, we are so blessed under the new covenant to be helped. And I love Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, where the Apostle Paul says, "We are the true circumcision," that is, the ones who are truly right with God, "who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus." That's what God wants. He wants the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to be our worship leader, stirring up our hearts and our minds so that the worship we give to God, our praise, is genuine and real, and not about ourselves, but about him. And what about this passage? John chapter 4. This is going to be one of those key passages on what worship's about. And it actually all begins because of the woman at the well saying about, where's the place you're meant to worship God? You know, it's not about places anymore. It's about heart under the new covenant. And Jesus says to her in John 4, 23 and 24, "An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Do you know what that means? We're to worship God with all our being, with our spirit that has been set free and alive by the Holy Spirit. And we are to worship the Lord in truth by this book, where we are given the complete revelation of our glorious, great and awesome God. This is a book that tells us about our great God. Creation is so limited in what it can declare to us. The Bible declares the wonder, the glory, the majesty of our God. We've got to be in the book. We ought to be singing his praises from the book with the help of the Spirit. So may, as we go into that new chapel, may we be a people who are, because of God's Holy Spirit, fired up in our own spirit to sing his praises according to truth, to the glory of his name. All right, next thing we're going to look at is, not only are we to be praising the Lord, but as we see in Solomon's day, we are to be proclaiming his name. So let's have a look at just a few verses here. 14, starting at verse 14 of 1 Kings 8. Then the king faced about, that means he faced the people, and he blessed all the assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and has fulfilled with his hand all that's happened." Verse 20. "Now the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, for I have risen in place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have set a place for the ark, in which is a covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them from the land of Egypt." You know what I call that? That is some preaching. Solomon is proclaiming. What's he proclaiming? He's proclaiming praise to God. He is proclaiming how the temple came about. He's proclaiming how God's hand was upon it. And he's proclaiming how this whole temple is for the glory of God. That's proclaiming. So what about under the new covenant? Under the new covenant, where we meet, that place over there in the new chapel is also to be a place where we proclaim. But what we are to proclaim is even more, of course it's more than what Solomon had, because Jesus has come. The gospel's been declared. The whole counsel of God has been given. And we have the joy to proclaim in that place, in this place, the God's great word. We are to proclaim the word of the Lord, the inspired and inerrant word of God. We are to proclaim the gospel so that people who are Christians might be built up in their faith and people who are not saved might come to be saved in Christ. We are going to be keeping on proclaiming Jesus, the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, who died on the cross willingly in our place, bearing our sins, the consequences of our sins, so that we could be forgiven and saved. And he rose from the dead. We're going to be proclaiming how we are to repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus in order to be saved. Hallelujah! This is what we're to be proclaiming. We're to be proclaiming the whole counsel of God, that God's people might be growing in Jesus. So, in anticipation of moving into the new chapel, I want us to make sure that we keep on proclaiming. And I want you to keep praying that we keep on proclaiming, because there are many, many things that are pulling preachers away from preaching the truth. And I want Bazo, that pulpit in the new chapel, to be a place where people are preaching the word of the Lord. Not an eroded message, but the message that God's Spirit is putting upon the men who will speak from that place. And when that happens, God loves to be present. God loves to affirm his word and apply it to our hearts. Well, the last one we're going to look at is prayer. Oh yeah, actually before I do that, there is another, I want to read this out to you. I remember this is the last word I had with the African pastors, when it was the last time I was with them when I left from our Impact Africa trips. And I remember sharing this with them, and I can't help for this word to be a word for myself and for all of us as we proclaim the word of the Lord, even if it be Sunday school, Bible school, youth group. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1-3, Paul speaking to Timothy, his last word, almost the last words of Paul. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Preach what? The word. The word. And it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, and we're in those times now, the time will come when they will not endure such sound doctrine, but will want, you know how it goes? They will want their ears tickled. That's the problem. The word of God gets eroded in many pulpits because people are just wanting their ears tickled, and pastors and preachers are willing to do that rather than to preach the word of the Lord. Well, the last thing we're going to look at is prayer. I'm not going to read it out to you, but 1 Kings chapter 8 from verse 22 all the way to verse 53 is this awesome prayer by Solomon. He proclaims, and now he's praying. And he's got his hands lifted up to heaven. That's how he's praying. He's on bended knees with hands lifted up, and he's doing this most incredible prayer. And he praises God in his prayer. And the gist of his prayer is that, Lord, may this place be a house of prayer where people come to pray. And may you be the God who hears and answers them. And Solomon speaks about leaders doing this and other nobility and just the normal plebs of society coming and also foreigners coming, that they might all come and pray and know that there is a God in heaven who hears. He wanted this place to be a place of prayer. It's interesting, that's what Jesus picks up on in Matthew 21 verse 13 when he went into the temple to sort out the mess in the temple. Had to drive out the money changers. Do you remember what he said? He said these words, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den." So I want you to envisage that new chapel to be a place when we pray. Where we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray before the throne of grace. We pray as we break bread together, praying to Jesus and giving thanks to Him for what He's done for us. We're praying to our wonderful Father in heaven. That place is to be a place of prayer. And when all these things are happening, it's a place of praise and a place of proclaiming the Word, a place of prayer. Guess what? God loves to dwell richly in our presence. And we get so excited about that, and people come in from the streets and they even sense the presence of God, and all sorts of amazing things happen. We've had it already in our old chapel. People sensing the presence of God and being drawn to Jesus and being saved. This is what we long for, isn't it? This is what we are to live for. I want to read to you, my last reading is from 2 Chronicles. Something happened after this prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Wow! What do you reckon? And the glory of the Lord filled the house. So this is the second time. God's glory coming down, filling the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement, that's the court, with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, "Truly, He is good. Truly, His loving kindness is everlasting." What a pinnacle. What a climax. After all that, after the praising, the proclaiming and the praying, God again comes down. Not only His presence, but now they see His power. And friends, I long, as we go into that new chapel, to see the presence of God moving amongst us and His power, His wonderful power, moving amongst us. That we might be so blessed by His presence. But what have we got to do? We've got to be a people who praise the Lord. May the Lord teach us how to praise Him well. We've got to be a people who proclaim His word. To proclaim it well. And we are to be a people who pray in the name of Jesus. That's what that place is to be about. For the glory of His name. So I've got three words for you now. Are we ready? Well, that's a good one, isn't it? Are we ready? We need to prepare ourselves personally. We need to also prepare ourselves together. But it's not just waiting, is it? Even right now, even in this old chapel in the hall, this is how we are to be. But let's anticipate really getting our act together as we enter into that new chapel. We're now going to sing a lovely song coming out of the days of revival, a song by Charles Wesley. He just wanted to proclaim the Lord's name. And sometimes I had to do that. In God's Great Cathedral, you know what God's Great Cathedral was? The outdoors. Because they weren't permitted to go into the cathedrals of England. And I love this hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues. How good to finish on this part, what do you reckon? This is about praising the Lord's name. Let's stand and sing together. Church on earth, we need to get ourselves fired up. And just think of it, one day we're all going to be together, just like in the new chapel. One day we'll all be together, but that's only a part way, then in glory. I want to finish today by saying I hope all of us really know Jesus. It's so important. All these things we talk about don't mean anything unless we've come personally to know the Saviour. To humble ourselves, to give ourselves to Christ, a sinner in need of salvation. And I trust that you've done that, that you've bowed your knee to the best friend you could ever have, the Lord Jesus, who loved you and gave himself for you. It's through him that we can then enter into praising his name, proclaiming his fair name, and praying through him to our Father in heaven. If you're not there yet, I would urge you to come and see me or one of the elders, and we'd love to encourage you. Let's pray. Now, Father, as I just to pause now, I feel like wanting to say to you, Lord, I'm so sorry for how in our world you must see a lot of worship that isn't, which is really a pretense. It's not the real thing. It's entertainment. It's for our own gain. And Lord, I just want us to be sick of that. We don't want that anymore, that we would be a people who are truly in love with our great God, are so indebted for what you have done for us through Jesus, that we would give ourselves completely to praising your name, proclaiming your name and praying to you. Lord, may this be a people, we're just a motley crew, may we be a people who know the presence of you, a presence that you are, your presence would be pleased to be with us, and that you would make your name glorious, not for our glory but for you, as we mingle in our community and as we meet together on a Sunday. Lord, please would all these things we've looked at this morning become a reality for us, even before we go into the new chapel. So Lord, may you minister to us and speak to us. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who's been moving in our midst and speaking into our hearts. Help us to listen to him well, as Jesus taught us. Let him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Help us to hear. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time we've had this morning. All glory to you. You are our good and gracious King. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.